help their health need. Could you look up John 3, 16 and 17? Maddie? Ephesians 2, 8 and 9? Hi, would you like to read one this morning? No, that's okay. Sam, could you do Ephesians 2:10? Matt, Hebrews 10:24 and 25. One more. Matt, no. John 14:6. And so today, maybe you're here and you've followed Jesus your entire life. Maybe this is really new to you, following Jesus, or just learning more about Jesus. Maybe you're somewhere in between. But regardless of where you are, it's important for you to know, learn, or relearn, become re-educated on the basics of Christianity. I think that's that. Not right now, but Ted was up here just a moment ago. He told me I was really used to. We coach high school baseball and college baseball too. Every year, every season, they start off by just learning the basics of throwing and getting down on your knees and how to get the shoulder turn, how to to snap the ball down and just start off with the basics. And that's what we're gonna do kind of the next 4 weeks. The last 4 weeks of our older youth group. We kind of went through this, this basics of Christianity. And really this morning, that's also going to affect my older two boys. We're gonna look at that again, but we're going to cover the same topics, but in a slightly different way. So this first week of the basics, we're talking about salvation. Very simply, and this goes along with what Charlie was reading in Colossians, that God sent Jesus to reconcile our relationship with him. That we used to have that perfect relationship. In fact, maybe we can demonstrate that. Would anybody want to volunteer to come up front? You want to volunteer? Are you volunteering your sister too? No? All right, well then, Dakota, you can come here. Come on, up front. I need one more volunteer. It won't hurt, I promise. Susie, okay? Susie's gonna come on up. Okay. So we've got Susie and Dakota, and they were the best of friends. They never had an argument. They never, used to. They always get along. But then something happened. Something happened between these two. I don't know what it is. I'm going to ask for a suggestion from you. But here's the deal. One of them is completely at fault, and the other one is not at all. Right? Usually in an argument, rubber relationships, it takes two to tango, and it's always never just 100% one person or 0% the other person. But in this case, it is. So I want you to tell me what happened between them. And preferably it's something that cost them. I haven't said yet who's at fault and who's not at fault, so you can pick that out yourself. But also it should be something that costs one person something. Property, money, they broke something. So what happened to them, Andrew?
Well, Dakota, as he was visiting, this is why I warned him, was backing out of her driveway, ran over her dog.
Any other suggestions? Other suggestions for what? Yeah.
Dakota was practicing and he hit a baseball through the window.
Okay.
Because he's a pumpkin.
Because what? His power. Or he could have been practicing pitching and it just
fall. He wouldn't be off the pick now, but his power pitching.
Wow, she did really stick out for you. All right. I mean, you can make either person call. Anybody have any other suggestions on what went wrong?
He wants something to say.
I don't want something to fall. I didn't ask for you to
come.
Oh, okay. Yes.
Susie was invited to a picnic.
Yeah.
And she should have asked her brother to go with her, but she didn't. And when he found out, his feelings were hurt.
Okay. But, okay, is it, oh, so this is her brother?
Yeah, this is
okay, her brother. Okay, okay. Jonah's a brother, and this, right, his feelings were hurt. Okay, what, one more, what happened? Yeah, what's wrong? He missed the target, ran over the target. He broke the football broke in the window, or the Dakota went over the window.
He shot his bow.
A bow?
And hit the target and broke the window.
So he hit the target, but he didn't look and see what the target was, so it broke in the window. I like that. Let's go with that. Alright. So Dakota was shooting his bow, and he shot a target, went through Susie's window. Now they were best of friends, now they're not talking. Now it's a broken relationship. So what we need now is someone to reconcile the relationship. Who would like to be a reconciler? Who can come up and fix this for us? Gail, since you're volunteering your brother, can you come up and do it? Come on. So can you reconcile? They've got the broken relationship because he shot the ball, hit the target, went through her window, cost her money. So can you talk to them to help reconcile the relationship? Do your best. Okay, that helps the window. Well, what about? You know Tony Robbins. But that doesn't fix the relationship.
Sorry.
Okay. Yes. Good job. Okay. Good job. You can go sit down. You did a great job. So to fix the relationship, but she wants a new window, right? It's like, okay, do I get a new window? Now the question is, who's going to pay for the window? Yeah, you. So if our reconciler has to pay for the window, now we have a little bit of a picture of what happened when Christ reconciled us to God. When we, simple humanity, had sinned against the holy God who had done nothing wrong, sitting in your living room, there, the bowl comes to a blood room. All right, we've done that, but not only has God reconciled our relationship to him, but he paid the price for what happened on the cross, because we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God, and yet the wages of sin are death, and Jesus did that for us. All right, as you see, you hit the target as you see it. Okay, so let's see how the Bible talks about that. John 3, 16 and 17.
For God so loved the world that he created his own son, whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal
life. And so.
For God did not send his son into the world.
Okay, good. Now, so from this verse and from others, we learn that salvation is in fact, up there, is in Christ alone. People try to invent ways sometimes to get that. Maybe there's a different way. You know, it's kind of like playing basketball, right? When we play basketball, there's only one way to score. Kevin, how do you score a basketball? Shoot, and where's the ball? Where's the ball have to go? Have to go through the hoop. Is there any other way to score? No. It's either a two-pointer, a three-pointer, a free throw. The ball's got to go through the hoop. You might try and make up your own rule, but that's, you know, the only way. Through Christ, through his death on the cross, is the only way for us to go to heaven. Think about it this way. If there was another way to get to heaven, then Jesus' death on the cross was unnecessary. In fact, he once basically asked his father, if there is any other way, let's do that. If this cup could be taken from me, let's do that. But if there is no other way, let your will be done. Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9.
That saved by grace, you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward.
Okay, so it's only by God's grace that you can be saved. You can't make up your own rules. Who here plays Foursquare in elementary? Oh, Sam? All right, Sam, tell me about some of the rules that people might make up in Foursquare.
You can't chuck it.
Can't chuck it. What? Or get double-headed, no slammers, no dinks, no... I mean, I remember playing Foursquare. Everybody keeps trying, and whoever's leading makes up their own rules of how that game's gonna be played. We were having a gym here on Friday. Mrs. Swears was doing a game with the kids, and we're looking at the person on the floor, and Caleb tried to change the rules. He tried to, let's do it this way. And, you know, we want to do that with God sometimes. We want to make our own rules, and we don't get to do that. God's already done that. He's made the rules. He's the creator of all things. John 14, 6.
Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me.
Okay. So salvation is in Christ alone, and then Jesus lives a perfect life, right? They need to be a perfect life to be a sacrifice for us. If there was somebody, a sinful person like me, I couldn't die on the cross because I had my own sins to atone for. But his perfect life, he died on the cross, and he's resurrected, and he sends his Spirit, the Holy Spirit, to be a guide and a conscience for this life. I know there's an outdated reference. It always comes to my mind. I don't know where the age cutoff is for Pinocchio. Matt, have you seen Pinocchio? Do you remember who was the conscience and guide? Nate? So it's somewhere between Nate and Matt. Okay. Jiminy Cricket. Yeah, Jiminy Cricket. It's that example of the person who's going to be there, going to be the conscience and guide for Pinocchio. Of course, then he became generations of Christian believers. I don't know. When you're growing up with Jiminy Cricket, right? Yeah. All right. Maybe just me. But, the Holy Spirit is our conscience and our guide, and He is God. Jason, the next one, the followers of Jesus, when I get to, are called disciples. The process of discipleship is become more and more like Jesus. Like, if I want to be like a person, and I want to become more and more like them, if I want to be more and more like a person, if I want to be more and more like Natalie, I'm going to follow her around. I'm going to watch what she does. I'm going to ask her questions. I'm going to read her diary. You think, you're going to read a diary? No, it's okay in this situation. Because she wants me to know more about her, so I get to read her journal, read her diary. And then, over time, I would learn more about her, and I would be able to become more like her. In discipleship, disciples are learners. The word disciple means to be a learner. We learn more about that person until we... Can you give me questions? You know what? Amy is the Jiminy Cricket on my shoulder, so that's telling me, don't do this right now. Here's what we'll do. We'll have somebody do an impression of me, and nobody's feeling this hurt. You know, I think Dakota's dying too. I mean, I know this happens, just naturally around, the lunch table or dinner table at night. Hey, I'm slurping from the park. I know that happens. Dakota, could you do a me impression? Yeah. Not that you want to do here. Right. Anybody else, Craig? Yeah. Andrew? We do this in our house on the dinner table. Like, okay, now let's all do Sam. And we all do impersonations of Sam. Let's.
Not the dinner table.
Hmm?
It's not the dinner table.
What do you call it?
Right now.
Oh, yeah, we're not at the dinner table. See? You can trick it right there, telling me, don't do it. How do you do that? All right. The goal of discipleship is to become, the moment's passed, to become more and more like Jesus, to do the right thing more and more often, so we follow him. We listen to him. We, read his diary. We ask him questions in prayer. We talk to him that we become more and more like him. And you would think that becoming more and more like Jesus, right thing more and more would be a good thing. However, some of you might have realized this in your own life. You might even get criticized for doing that. You might have friends at school who may call you, goody two-shoes, or you might be ridiculed by your own family. You could be criticized. But that, too, is also becoming more and more like Jesus. Jesus was criticized and persecuted and ridiculed, even though he never did anything wrong. So we are to be followers of Jesus, called disciples, to learn, to follow, become more like him. And a part of following Jesus is that reason we were saved, one of the reasons we were saved, is to serve. Ephesians 2:10. Okay, so we're to love God and also to love others. And here's a huge important thing for you to remember about your life. And it's not a comfortable thing or a thing we like to think about, but your life is not all about you. Your life is not all about you. Your life is a gift to be given away. In fact, Lila, would you help me out? Yeah, don't you remember, but please know nothing. Lila, could you help me out? Can you come out here for a second? All right, I'm going to give you these. Two suckers. Okay, this one is for you. This kind of represent like eternal life. And this is your life to be given away as a gift. So I know you don't know a lot of people here, so I might just go around and look at the person with the kindest face and give that away. Whoever seems like they're worthy of the... After a while, you get to know Dakota better. Oh, she's giving both of them. Carl. So, you know, that we were created to give our lives away. And again, like a follower of Jesus. Jesus did not come to be rich or successful or popular. He came to give his life away to each one of us as a gift to each of us. And we, in turn, are to give our lives away in service, through service to others. Also, in addition to being saved to serve, you were saved to share life. And I should have said this at the beginning, but you have your bolts and sheets. These are the fill-ins there. But to share life, you're meant to live in community with other people. Hebrews 10, verses 24 and 25.
And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching.
Okay. Who here played football? All right, Skyler, who did you play for?
Home College.
Okay.
In Coldwater High School.
Coldwater High School, played for Home College. Matt, did you just raise your hand? Who did you play for? What team did you play for? What's that?
Mason.
Played for Mason High School. Jason?
Yeah.
Played for Dansville? Steve?
Dansville.
Played for Dansville. Okay. Yes.
I played for the Wolverine in seventh grade.
Oh, really? What position did you play?
Left out.
Left out. That was my baseball position. Yeah. I had some other, I think football was left out, was left bench in football, but yeah. Do we have anybody here that was ever a part of the military? Armed services. All right. Well, we don't have that question. But let's say I was to ask you what football team you played football, you raised your hand, you played football, I asked you what team you played for, you said, well, I don't really play for a team. I kind of do football, you know, on my own. Or I said, you know, okay, you were a soldier, you were part of the military, what branch of the military were you part of? Or what platoon were you part of? Or what division? Well, I did my own thing. You kind of start to question, I'm not sure if you played football or were a soldier. You know, in the same way, we're never meant to do life alone, including our life with Christ. we were saved to share life. Also, as disciples, you were saved to spiritually mature. You're growing your faith. It's springtime, you've probably gone out and maybe planted stuff. Anybody been planting stuff around their house, garden? Anybody plant a tree? Did you plant a tree?
Yeah, it died.
Oh, it died. Wow, that really ruins my illustration. Anybody else plant something?
Yeah, I planted two peach trees.
You planted two peach trees, are they little? Okay, but the expectation is that they're going to grow, that they're not just going to stay there. When you plant something that just comes out of the ground, your expectation is that it's going to grow. But many times when people trust in Jesus and then just stagnate right there, like there's no fresh experience of Jesus in their life, no growth. And we need to spiritually mature. Some of you are younger. Younger people here, you're going to physically mature. If Sam, didn't grow for the rest of his life, we'd kind of go, he was supposed to grow more. He seems to break, but he didn't. He shouldn't stop growing until he's at least gone through puberty, right? We shouldn't stop spiritually maturing until the day we die. That we're to continually to grow. And finally, as disciples, we're made to shine. To shine. Jesus gives us a wonderful gift of salvation, and like we saw with Lazarus, you don't keep it to yourself. You tell others, you be, one of my favorite things to say, a conduit of God's grace and not a reservoir. If I told you, that Kaylee, if I told you that you won $100 trillion and also the ability to just eat ice cream all day and never get brain freeze, and also you could fly and you have all those things, but then I follow it up with, you might be a little bummed out, like I kind of want to share that with other people, that I have these abilities and I have all this money. We've been given something far greater than that. And we're not to keep it to ourselves. Occasionally Jesus would heal someone and he would say, don't tell anyone, because my time has not yet come. Because he didn't want to be rushed into, ushered into being the physical king that they wanted before it was his time. Before he was to be persecuted, before he was to ascend and be resurrected. But then, when it was time, he said, go tell people and tell others what God has done for you. His time had come. You know what? We're still in that era. His time has come. We're still in that time. We've already had the death and resurrection of Christ. The time has come to tell others to shine. So, four specific purposes for being saved, besides spending eternity in heaven with God. As disciples, we talked about you're saved to serve, and this is just kind of a cute way of putting S's on all of it. You can call them different things. But you're saved to serve, to share life, to spiritually mature, and to shine. One of the ways we talk about that, if you look at to know Christ, to grow in Christ, to serve Christ, and to share Christ. We'll keep those on the back wall as reminders. I invite you to come back next week and we're going to learn more about the basics of Christianity. Let's pray and let the worship team come back up. Heavenly Father, the invitation to trust in Christ for your salvation and stop trying to do it on our own, or our own way, by our own rules. I know that invitation is now. And you invite us to come now. God, help us as we learn more about the basics of what you came to share with us, the gospel, the good news about your Son coming and teaching and healing and suffering and dying for each one of us. God, to live our life as a thank you in response, and through serving and sharing and spending time with one another, telling others about you. Rouse and remain, Jesus. Amen. You know, and that invitation to trust in Christ for your salvation, to stop living by your own rules in that, just as you are. You don't have to get your life all cleaned up first so you'll be acceptable to Him. His invitation is to come as you are, just as you are now. He said, today is the day of salvation. So let's sing that as we come as we are to worship our God.